Okay, so we last left off. We finished Hakdama Yates in the old Sefer that took us to Daf Rish Yud Aleph. So we're deep in the discussion about the Osios. And we're discovering that the Osios is the Shoresh of creation. As the Zohar Kaddish tells us, that when Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze, when he came to the Makom HaMikdash, and the Torah says, Vayishkav b'makom ahu, that he laid down in that place. So the Zohar says, the word Vayishkav is really the secret of Yesh Chaf Beis. That there are Chaf Beis Osios. Yesh Chaf Beis. And this musig of Yesh Chaf Beis means that the Chaf Beis Osios are at the root of a musig called Yesh. That Hashem Yisbarach created, and this will help us understand what means Estakel B'Araisa Bar'ama, that when Hashem Yisbarach created the world in existence, Yesh Me'ayin, what took the world from the place of Ayin and gave it a Yeshus is the Torah. That the Yeshus of all of creation, the Hainu, what you could say about creation, that this has an existence, this truly exists, is the fact that there are Osios. And as we explained last week, as the Baal Shem Tov explains the Pasuk, La'olam Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, that what causes Shamayim to be Nitzav is the Dvar Hashem. The letters Shamayim is what upkeeps Shamayim. The letters Shin Lamech Ches Nun is what upkeeps the Shulchan. That the Dvar Hashem is forever, constantly giving Yeshus. And the reason why that is because when we look at the Sfiros and we understand them from Keser to Malchus, that can be understood, of course, in many, many ways. But one relationship between Keser and Malchus is, Keser represents Ayin, and Malchus represents Yesh. The Peh is the Makom of Malchus. So therefore, when we say that Hashem Yisbarach in the Torah, He uttered, He spoke words, Diburim, to Maisa Bereshis, it's implying to us that from that Malchus of Hashem, the Peh, that place of Yeshus, that these words which come from His mouth are going to give a Yeshus. It's going to give a Yeshus to everything in existence. Because Ein Melech Balayam, the Melech has nothing to rule over, there's nothing else other than Him. So when we say that Hashem had a Ratzon to be Melech, Ana Emloch, or even when we spoke about the Shvir of the Kalim, that the Kalim, each one of them said, Ana Emloch, I want to be the Master, I want to be the King. And each one of those Sfiros was grabbing and taking what shouldn't belong to him, which caused his Shvira. That's represented in the Torah as the Misas HaMalachim, the seven Malachim which died. That their Yeshus cracked. And they became nothing again. So therefore, Malchus represents Yesh. Has a Shaykhus to the Peh, because everything that the Malach does is with his Peh. Hence, the secret of Yesh Chaf Beis means that when something has a real Yeshus, what gives it its Yeshus is the Chaf Beis Osios. So therefore, when you look at the Sefer Torah, and you look at the parchment, and you see that there are letters in black, and then there's the parchment behind, which is in white. So that's really a relationship which is taking place between the Yeshus of the Torah, which is the Chaf Beis Osios of Torah, which gives it figure, which gives it a tzura of its own, versus the white, which is considered to be the ayin of Torah. Hence, the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that even holier than the Chaf Beis Osios is the parchment, is the white, that white on black, that white, that or, which is considered to be higher than Hasaga, that place of Keser, because really the parchment white is not considered to be a color. It's just considered to be something which is open to all colors or includes all colors. So therefore, that white, which represents Rachamim, which represents the Keser, is even holier than the black letters, which represents the Inyan of Malchus.
Are the letters what gives it sustenance, or are they the DNA? Right? Is it that the letters are the building blocks, and the letters are not there, or the letters are mamish sustaining it consistently?
Sustaining it consistently, yeah. Yeah. The Dvar Hashem has a chiyas. Divrei Elokim chayim. These are living divurim. And the reason why they're chayim is because they're constantly giving life to them. Now, all the letters have a tzad shava. The hainu, that they're all black. They're all black ink. The difference is that when you decide to make a mem instead of a nun, so now you're giving it its own character, its own personality. So it's going to be, this shulchan is going to have a life force of shin, lamed, ches, nun. And the reason why its personality is that it's a four-legged shulchan, this one's not, but a four-legged shulchan, is because the configuration of these letters, azoy, means that a shulchan is that. And that was the gevaldik chacham of Adam HaRishon, that they were mispalit from that, and they said, wow, what a chacham he is. It's just not that he gave names to creation which he thought were nice concepts. It looked nice. It's he understood that a shor is a shin, vav, and a resh. And when you put it in this order, the yeshus of this shor is a shin, vav, and a resh. That's what it is. It's a shin, vav, and a resh. So you're understanding on an atomic level the Dvar Hashem, the life force of everything. And tzaddikim are able to do that. And when we speak about the chachma of tzaddikim of being meyachid yichudim, right, that they're able to make yichudim, right? It's a type of a chachma which a tzaddik is endowed with, where that he's able to see the osios and to maneuver them and to change them. He's changing the whole tzur of that thing. And tzaddikim use this tool in terms of bringing bracha in a person's life. Like the Baal Shem Tov talks about it, like a tzaddik sees that nega is coming down, right? He says nun. He sees there's a gzeira called nun gimel ayin. And this is, of course, simplifying something which is so deep. So says the Baal Shem Tov, that tzaddik comes along and he's like, no, not nega, oneg. Right? As if like if you could just go on a paper and just switch nega to oneg and everything will be okay. But the tzaddik has a way of understanding certain inyanim, and he understands that the Ratzon Hashem is to be meitiv. Of course, that's the precondition to all this, because if you're not holding in that place that Hashem really, really wants to be meitiv, who are you to come along just to change things? But if the tzaddik knows, and this is why pnimius is so important, because a person can look at the world and he has lots of kashas, and he says, who are you to come along and to change things? And that was the kasha that one of the gaim, I forget who, asked Rabbi Akiva. He says, if Hashem made this person be an ani, why are you giving tzedakah and changing it? You made him an ani. Well, the obvious question is because Hashem said there's a mitzvah in Torah to give tzedakah to an ani. But what the limud from that is that we have to be omid of the Ratzon HaMelech. If the Ratzon HaMelech is lahetiv, then it's not just that he has permission to change nega to oneg. Hashem is saying, please do that. This is what you're here for. That's what the role of the tzaddik is. We have an understanding, Hashem says to the tzaddik. I got to do my thing. I have to run this world with midas hadin. A melech is the inyan of din, it's the inyan of malchus. Right? But I want you to emulate who I truly am, and I want you to turn dinim into rachma. I want you to turn the lens around. I want that it should be nizgala, my ratzon and my sabereshes, the ratzon ha-melech. So that's the relationship taking place between the melech and his subjects, who's closest to him.
Is this what we're doing when we're naming our children and we're speaking? We're changing the malchus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the power of speech and why dominate and everything that we also have this power.
Absolutely. We don't do it in a conscious way, but that's really the sod. The sod of tefillah is that it's every day we're being mishtatef with a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. That the Ma'aseh Bereishis of that day, we're shutfit in that. Like we say by Vayichulu. We say Vayichulu, Shema Bar, Chazal say, anybody who says Vayichulu on Friday night, he's mishtatef with a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. Anybody who's done den emes lamito is mishtatef with Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. Done den emes lamito means that you know what the real ratzon of the melech is. When you know what the real ratzon of the melech is, so that you're done den emes lamito, you know why Hashem really wanted with this din. Not that there should be din, that there should be rachamin, should be neskal. And that's really why Friday night is a moment of that, because the 6 days of the week are considered to be din, klape Shabbos. So when Shabbos comes around, and he says vayichudo, and he's meshtat with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, says, Shabbos is considered to be the day. It's considered to be the day from which all bracha and all shefa comes from. And so it has a way, when comes Shabbos, and you understand Friday night, what we say, atzakidash esu mashvi, Tachlis, Ma'aseh Shemayavar. It's the day of Tachlis, where you're omen of what the Tachlis of the Bria is. when you're omen on the tachlis of Maisa Bereshis, when you say that parak, Ata Kidashta, and you talk about tachlis, and you're in that world of Shabbat, and you're like, this is the tachlis, this is the Ratzon HaMelech, right after that you say Vayichulu, and you're mishtat with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereshis. It's only when you understand what the tachlis is, what the Melech wanted all along, because you can't see what Hashem wanted all along from 6 days of creation. And the same thing is true, what our lives in this world are considered to be 6 days, the Sheshes Yemei HaChol, these are the days of our lives, and we come, we leave this world and we come to Olam Haba. That's what Shabbos is, it's Me'ein Olam Haba. That we're only able to see L'mafreya, what it was that our lives were about in this world. So in that way, Friday night is the moment where we're able to have a Hasag of that Tachlis, like L'mafreya, things turn over. Now of course, Friday night and Shabbos is it's a L'mafreya Tikkun for the things of the previous week, and it's also going to be a hachana for the coming week. But we shouldn't think to ourselves that the 6 days of the week were just gone, now we're in Shabbos, and we have no Sheiches. Adrabah, but that's what tshuva is. Tshuva means going back and changing everything. When you have a serious Yemei Tshuva, it means you spent 365 days this past year. These 10 days are going to be an opportunity to change everything which you did the past 300-something days. And that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is an opportunity that Hashem says, you probably didn't do an amazing job this past week, although I think you did, you probably think you didn't. I want you to go back and I want you to change everything now. And to do that, you need to tap into a makom of Ma'is HaBereishis. You don't just go back to 6 days. What was done, no? But Shabbos has a way, being premius, of going back to the previous 6 days and saying, okay, we're going to turn Nega into Oneg. We're going to have a different Metzias from these past 6 days. So when you come up to Shemayim, Hashem's going to give you a totally different account of what happened these past 6 days. That's the unbelievable chesed. But because our perspective of things is always in hindsight, we always see things with Mafreya to really understand them. Like Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "Upanai lo yiro." You can't see things panai, right? Only achayrai. So Mefarshim explained that panai lo yiro means that you don't see things straight on. We're only able to see things lachar, which means the mafreya. We're not going to understand the Holocaust until Hashem tells us what it's about. Then we'll understand the mafreya. We didn't understand Yetzias Mitzrayim, Galus Mitzrayim, as we were going through it. We had a lot of kashrus on Hashem. And only when they came to Har Sinai, and Hashem said, "Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hetzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim," all of that was for this. And they said, "Oh, it was all worth it. Now I understand what this is about." But we don't see things like Hashem sees them Yasha. We only see things with Derech Archoiza. We see things retroactively. That's how we see things. And the reason why we go to Tzaddikim, like the Ramchal explains in the Seos Hashem, is because we go to a tzaddik because he's been through the journey already. So he's able to tell us, "Oh yeah, I was there, and this is how you do that." So the reason why we go to tzaddikim is because they're ahead of us. They're walking on the journey beyond where we're holding now, and the tzaddik is able to say to us, our Rebbe is able to say to us, you know, when I was there at this point in my life, or even if I wasn't there, I understand from the Torah what you're supposed to do in this place, because the tzaddik is looking at it retroactively at that point. He's ahead of us. So that's where the koyach of the inayim is retroactive. In fact, I'm not a scientist or a person who understands biology, but the way that the eyes work is that there's a flip which takes place in the eyes. Exactly how sure how it works, but it's Marum is in the Pasuk by Noach. It says, "Noach matza chen b'nei Hashem." Noach and chen are the same letters, just that it's flipped, the nun and the ches. Why is that mentioned there? Noach matza chen b'nei Hashem. Because there's an inyan by the inayim that you can do your own studies of this, that the eyes, that when what we see comes in,
separate, it comes from this way. Well, our brain processes it like this.
Crosses it. So that's the inyan of the mafreya, a flip. In Kabbalah, we find this inyan also, that there's something which is called the chiluf, which takes place as Shefa is coming down from the head, from the maichin to the midos. There's a chiluf which takes place. And that's why the next world is called an Olam Hafach Ra'isi. It's an upside-down world. And what that means for us is that a person who's ahead of Madrigas of another person is called, he's in a different Olam than him. And so therefore, he's in a different Olam means he's in an Olam Hafach. From where I stand and where he stands is an Olam Hafach. And so the only way I can understand an Olam Hafach is by Emunah. I have to just have Emunah. So if I want to understand things which are going to happen, I can't really understand it with my Seichel because it's Hafach. And the Seichel only understands things Yasha. What understands things Hafach? Emunah. Because Emunah is where we go to understand things which we don't understand. So to bring it down into this world, to have safe landing, where we can be masculine, so Emunah is the koyach which we have inside of us to understand things which are beyond ourselves now. That's what Emunah means. It's able to make yasha out of everything, which is beyond us. That's what the Malbim understands the pasuk. Tuv tam v'das tam deini, kibu matzvesecha ha'emanti. I understand things which were so sweet, because things which are beyond our majega are much sweeter to us than things where we're holding it. And we always feel that way. We always feel that what we have we're not satisfied with because it's on our level. But as soon as we purchase something, we get something which is, we feel is beyond where we are, it gives us a geschmack, because we like to feel that we are in places which are higher than us. And until that becomes where we are, that becomes our madrega, then we're not satisfied with that anymore. If a person can have a $100 million house, but as soon as he settles into the fact that he's a $100 million guy, then he doesn't want that anymore, because he's always looking for a higher hasaga than what he has. So, the same thing is true when it comes to ruchnius. Tuv tam ladas amdeni. This was very sweet. This was a very sweet experience. Why? Keep the mitzvah secha ha'amanti, says David HaMelech, because I had a emunah in your mitzvahs. And so as soon as we understand certain mitzvahs in our lives, and yonim in our lives, on the level which we understand them, like if you were trying to understand Tamei HaMitzvahs, and you go through Sefer HaChinuch and you learn through it, you don't go through Sefer HaChinuch and okay, let's do that again. Right? You're looking for the next understanding of the Tamei HaMitzvahs. You want to open up a Reb Shimon, and you want to know what the real Tamei HaMitzvahs are. You want to open up the Arizals, has a Sefer called Tamei HaMitzvahs. You want to know, tell me the Tamei HaMitzvahs and Pnimius. And that goes on and on and on. But that's what's called Emunah. Emunah means you're pushing it to go to a place which is higher than you are. When you have Emunah in something, and you may not even understand it yet, Emunah, says the Malbim, and other tzaddikim, is the Pesach which allows us to understand things which are beyond us. So the people who are living with Emunah in their lives, who are living in a very sweet place, because the Seichel is very cold, but Emunah is very geschmack, because it's tapping into those things which are higher than us. Which is why going to a Rebbe is so great, because when you go to a Rebbe and he's teaching you Torah, a person is only capable of learning a Sefer which is on his level, or just a little bit more, because he has to use his Seichel, and the difference between what he's able to understand right now, what he may be able to understand later, is not very great. It's not very vast. When a person goes to a Rebbe is able to give a person much higher than a Sefer is able to teach him, because the Rebbe is able to say, he's able to teach a person, and he knows how to cater it to him, and he knows how to say it in a way that he can bring down big hasagas to a person, and to give him the aura, and to give him the keli also. Now, Sefer could do that too, but they just don't do that. But if you go to a Rebbe who's having a live interaction, so a Rebbe is able to give something which may be even higher than the Sefer is able to give, because the Rebbe is able to bring himself down to the Talmud as well, to teach him that hasaga. But a Rebbe is considered to be the makom of emunah, the place of emunah, of the Talmud, and so therefore the Svarim say that the more emunah that the Talmud has in the Rebbe, the greater hasagas, and I'm able to be makabal the aura of the tzaddik and the teachings of the tzaddik. It's not that this person is smarter, therefore he's able to take more. That's very good in Chitzonius world. But in Pnimius world, the real Talmidim of the Rebbe, the one who will gain the most from the Rebbe, not just from the limudim, but from the aura of the Rebbe, that even when he's not around the Rebbe, the kesher that he has with the Rebbe allows him to have an aliyah throughout his day because he has a kesher with the Rebbe, are the Talmidim who have more emunah in the Rebbe. And nothing happens without emunah in the Rebbe. You can't go to the Rebbe and get a bracha until you just expect things to happen. It's the emunah in the tzaddik, that all the tzaddikim talk about. The tzaddikim, the emunah which we have in them. The vayaminu b'Hashem, uva Moshe avdo, oz yashir. It was the emunah that they had in Moshe which made the yamsuf split. And that's true with everything in our lives. That all the yamsufs, all the obstacles in our lives, comes from the emunah that we have in Hashem, and the emunah which we have in the tzaddik who we come to as representatives of Hashem to make those yamsofs in, kriyas yamsofs in our lives. So that's why, as we mentioned last week, we spoke about the osios. We were just delving into the sugi of osios, that the Sefer Yetzirah taught us that osios are called avanim. They're called avanim. And avanim make batin. So like we said, that 6 letters make 720 permutations. That's why Bereshis, which has 6 letters, has Tashach Tzirufim. 720 Tzirufs. When Yaakov comes to the Makom HaMikdash, and the Zohar tells us this is the secret of Vayishkav B'Makom HaHu, the secret of Yesh Chaf Beis, there's the Yeshiv, so the secret of Yeshiv is the Chaf Beis Osios. So immediately the Torah tells us, Vayikach Me'avne HaMakom. Oh, he took for the Avanim. What's the Avanim, says the Zohar? The letters. The letters are called Avanim. Yaakov took, he understood the secret of Sefer Yetzirah, the sinyan of the Avanim. And this is going to be something which was an introduction to the house of Lavan. That as Yaakov was going into the house of Lavan, really, it's an amazing thing. That the 14 years that Yaakov spent learning in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever didn't compare to one sleep that Yaakov had at the Makom HaMikdash. That's where he was taught the secret of the Chaf Beis Osios. Which is an amazing thing. What comes to tell us is that the Rav Shitzer and other tzaddikim say that the inyan of sleeping is the inyan of emunah. Like we say, B'yodcha afked ruchi be'is ishan v'ya'ira, that you have emunah in Hashem, that you give him your nefesh as a pikadon every night. That's called emunah. Which is like when we wake up in the morning, we say, Moedani l'fanecha, Rabba munasecha, shechazarta b'nishvazi, Rabba munasecha, wow, your emunah is so good. Sleeping is an experience of emunah because it's the unknown. We're going to a place of sleep, we don't know. We're going into a makom of Misa. We don't know whether we're going to wake up in the morning or not. We take it for granted because it's teva. But it's really, Chazal say, that a dead person is considered to be Yoshnei Afar. Machaim Emunasa Lishenei Afar. Sleeping in the dust. So therefore, the whole experience of going to sleep and waking up is a Bechin of Emunah. Higher Hasagas. Because the way that we understand sleep is that the Neshama goes up. It goes up to a higher Madriga than what it is in this world. That's called Emunah. That's called Rabba Emunasecha. That Hashem, your emunah is so great. And that's why the experience of Yaakov's sleep in Parshas Vayetze, in the Makom HaMikdash, he had a greater hasaga than he had in all 14 years where he didn't sleep in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. That's what tells us that when we tap into emunah, it's able to take us into higher hasagas than what the Seichel is able to understand b'derech Chachma. That's why in Pnimis HaTorah, Keser is called emunah, and Chachma is called Chachma. But Keser is higher than Chachma. Because the Keser is the unknown. We don't understand the Keser. The only way to connect to the Keser is through Emunah. But when we have Emunah, we tap into the Keser. The Hasag of Keser is higher than the Mayichim, which is Chachma bin Adas, which is the Seichel de Gahava. So with that introduction to the Inyan of the Chaf Beis Osios, let's do Hakdam al Chaf. So he writes, this is the Hakdama of the Chaf Beis Osios HaTorah. We're going to see that the 22 letters break down into three parts, just like everything breaks into three parts. They are called Shalosh Emos, Sheva Kfulos, and the Yud Beis Pshutos. Okay, let's see. Bepirka Kadman is Bar Hetev, Ki Kol HaNetzalim HaNivraim. We explain that all of Hashem's Ne'etzalim, Nevraim, Yitzurim, Nasim, everything in creation, and all four Olamos, Bein Agashim, Bein Aruchnim, Gashmis, and Ruchnis, Kulim Nevru, Al Yudei Chaf Beis Osios HaTorah. All Yeshus comes from the Chaf Beis Osios. V'hem Chiyusam V'kiyumam Shal Kol Davar. It's a Tzchias, what gives it life, and what upkeeps it. Devarim Chayim V'kayamim. Chayim V'kayamim. Chiyusam V'kiyumam. As we'll see, as we get into the building blocks of the spheros, that a letter, each letter corresponds to a sphere as well. Chaf Beis Osios nechalak mashalosh dargos, as we explained, shalosh, sheva, and shneimasar. And we're looking at this and we're seeing the basic breakdown of the zman, right? Sheva, which is the seven days of the week. Shneimasar, which is the Yud Beis Chodesh. And Shalosh is really the inyan of Shabbos, because the Shalosh Shudas and Shabbos, the three Tfilos of Shabbos. Shalosh is an inyan of Shabbos Kodesh, which is considered, as we'll see in a second, it could be more Sharashi than the 7 and the 12. So these three, the inyan of three, which is the Shairish. Hashalosh Oshios Ikrim Shabahem, Bora Hashem Yitzbarach Es Hashalosh Sfiros, Elyonos, Keser, Chachma, and Bina, are represented by the letters Aleph, Mem, Shin, Emesh. Kedi Isha B'Sefer Yetzirah, Shalosh Emos. That there are three, as he explains the word Emos, that's the Lashon of Sefer Yetzirah, it's been Lashon Em Habanim. Roots, Emesh, which is Rashitevos, Avir, Mayim, and Ish. These are three of the Arba Yesodos of Ruach, Mayim, and Afar, and Ish. Avir, Keneged Ruach, Now, when we spoke about Avir, Mayim, Esh, and Afar, when we spoke about the Dalai Yesodos, so we explain them as Chachma, Bina, Tiferes, and Malchus. Chachma being Mayim, Bina being Esh, Ruach being Tiferes, and then Afar being Malchus. Here, Ruach is going to take on a different representation. That although there was Tiferes, from this viewpoint of these three Yesodos corresponding to the three letters of the Chaf Beis Osios, here it's Keser, Chachma, and Bina, so Avir is connected to Keser, because Avir represents the Chala HaPanei. It represents the place from where creation begins, the white parchment. That's considered to be Avir. Then in the same way in this world, the Avir is not something tangible. It's like considered to be the Ayin of this world, is that Avir. So here too, Avir represents Keser. When we speak about it, when we look at it from a place of Yesh Chaf Beis, the Yud Beis Osios, which gives Yesh, we would say about the Keser, that which is like borderline between Yesh and Ayin, that's called the Avir, the Chal HaPanei itself. Mayim is Chachma, just like it was earlier when we spoke about the Dalai Yisodos. Mayim corresponds to Chachma. And Esh is an Inyan of Bina. Esh is an Inyan of Bina. Take a look at Simin Dalid, why Afar isn't mentioned. It has to do with the Inyan of Malchus. Or another reason why, because really you can make Afar, the Tivium say that in those days, they said, and I'm sure it's true still, that if you take Avir, Mayim, and Esh, you can actually make Afar. That's what's brought down in Sfarim HaKadosh. But for these purposes, we have Aleph, Mem, Shin. So therefore, when we see these Osios in the Torah, the energy, kivyachol, of these Osios can be of Keser, Chachma, and Bina. They automatically represent these three spheres. So these are the letters. Now, what's interesting is that, of course, Aleph is considered to be the first letter in Torah, Mem is the middle letter in Torah, and Shin, second to last letter. Because the last letter is considered to be like falling off the deep end. We're going to see momentarily that the Taf has a certain inyan, as you see from the regal of the Taf, that it's called Regleha Yordos Maves. The letter Taf is considered to be the letter of Misa. So, in a certain way, this really kind of understands the whole inyan what we find by the days of the Mei HaMitzarim. Like we call the Chaf Aleph Mei HaMitzarim, sometimes the Chaf Beis Mei HaMitzarim. Right? Are they 22 days or are they 21 days? And you can also say the same thing about the 21/22 days of from Rosh Hashanah to Shemini Atzeres. Like we can look at them from, you can look at it from Rosh Hashanah till Hoshana Rabbah, which is 21 days, or you can include Shemini Atzeres, which is Chaf Beis, because it depends on the Shaila of what is Shemini Atzeres. Is Shemini Atzeres the eighth day of Sukkot, or is it a regal b'fnei atzmo? And it's really both. It's Shemini. That's why it's called Shemini Atzeres, because it's the eighth day of Sukkot, but it's also Atzeres, and it's a regal b'fnei atzma. So that's why there's these 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, but you can also talk about the 21 letters of the Aleph Beis. And when you do that, so that therefore you have here by Keser Chachma Min a representation of the Osios of Aleph Mem Shin. That's like MS, but in this understanding of MS, but here it's Emesh. It's Aleph Mem Shin with the Talon Fallen Tuff. You're going to see the Tuff in the next page now. Sheva Kfulos. So we turn the page. Now there are seven, I don't even know how to say the word Kfulos in one word, doubles. What does that mean? Va'akachach lakach Hashem Yisbarach Sheva Osios Acheros. Then Hashem took seven other letters, Ubar B'hem Zayin Midos, and He made the seven Sfiros, the Zayin Midos, from these seven letters, as it says in Sefer Yetzira. And the seven Kfulos are Begit Kapoiros. Beis Gimel Dalid Chaf Pefresh Tav. With this He made the Zayin Midos of Chag HaNehem, Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Netzach Elyon Malchus. And the Os Tav, He says, is a remez to Malchus, Ki Kari De Tav Yotzi Chutz L'Shura, because the leg of the Tav goes like outside of its space, I mean it's moving outside of the intended area of the Tav, and it's remez to the Malchus, which is considered to be like Chutz L'Shura. The Malchus is considered to be the sphere, which is like part of the spheres, but not really part of the spheres. That's what Malchus means. It's inside, but it's outside. Now, what's the inyan of Zayin Kfulos? What does that mean, Kfulos? So, You could take a look here for Ba'arichas a little bit at the Simen Hey, and in Simen Vav, and in Simen Zayin, that the Inyan is of Alpipashtas, of Bege Kaparis, that these are letters which could be written of Dagish and Rafe. There's a dot in the base, it could say Va or Ba, Ka or Cha, right? Pe or Fe, Tuf and Suf. And the same thing is true that we find by a Gimel and a Dalid, that they also have a Dagish and a Rafe. The only difficult one is the Resh, because I think we only find one place that the Resh actually has a Dagish in it, that it has a dot in it. But be it as it may, these seven letters, whatever soy there is behind these letters, are considered to be kafel, that they're considered to be doubled. Which is Mayur on Din and Rachamim, the Sfarim say. They have a Din and a Rachamim, just like the energies of the Zayin Midos. Whereas Kesir Chachamim Bina are considered to be Kulo Rachamim. So already when you come to the Zayin Midos, they're doubled in Rachamim and Din. There's a more of a presence of Din. So for that, we say that they're called Kfulos, Dagish and Rafi. It's called Dina Rafia, Dina Rafia, and Dina Kasha. The Eilu Hazayin Sirus Tachtonos Nevru Dafka. You can say them in two ways, like we said, Dagish and Rafe. Like we just explained, that they have an Indian of Din and Rachamim, that's why they're called Kfulos. But Gemur Rishonos, which is Rachamim and Gemurim, therefore they're not considered to be Kafa. Now, the Yud Beis Pshutos, Kasha Kfar Hishtamish Basara Osius, the Vios HaEsher Sfiros. So now there's only 10, we've used 10, now there's 12 left. Nishru Odyud Beis Osius, Shabhem Bar Hashem Yisbarach HaYilam HaZeh HaMuchok HaZeh Beit Chadashim. The 12 remaining letters correspond to the 12 months of the year. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Shteim Esrei Pshutos. These letters are called Pashut, because they're not Kafel. Pashut letters. And these letters are the remaining letters of Hei Vav Zayin, Ches Tes Yud, Lama Nut Samech, Ayin Sadi Kuf, which create what's called Yud Beis Gvulei Alachson. The 12 directions. What does it mean, 12 directions? I'll explain in a second. The 12 directions is, and this is the way that my Rebbe showed it to me, and I'll demonstrate it the same way to you, using a tissue box. And this is explained in a footnote here, where he quotes the Shlah. So although there are six directions, when we speak about directions, so when something takes on physical form, 3D form, so it has four sides, you could say, to each side. So, for example, here, right, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? And over here, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. And when you do that on all four sides, so, what? No, that's 16. No, that doesn't work out. Oh, because I'm sharing. Sure. I'm sharing one of the sides, yeah. I'm sharing, each one is sharing. So you have to take out four, right? Because I can't use the same side twice. So when I take out four, so now I have 12. Right? That's Yud Beis Gvuli Alachsa. And when something comes into the lower world and it takes on character like that, takes on a form like that, so therefore that's called Yud Beis Gvuli Alachsa. So that's considered to be the 12 months of the year. So what that shows us right away about the relationship between the months of the year, we just look at it as time, and time has no form, but that's not true. Everything in the lower world has form. And it takes on a form. Zman has a form also. So when we take a look at each Chodesh, so you would say that Zman looks like this. Zman is a tissue box. And each run represents a different part. Just like when Klal Yisrael, we know that each of the months correspond to each of the Shivatim. And when they traveled in the Midbar, they traveled in a certain Surah. Right? They give Yud Beis Alachson to how the Aron traveled, how the Mishkan traveled. So in the same way that each of the Shivatim were divided into camps, right? That there were four different camps and each would have three shvatim. That's the same thing when it comes to Zman. Zman is alive and they relate to each other. There's relationships which take place with each other. That's something which is important to recognize, is that Zman is not something which just the Olam is just moving and moving and moving and there's no shaykhis. 2017 and 2016, no. Zman has a tzura. And that's the whole musik of tshuva, is that through tshuva we go back into Zman. It's something which is alive. It has a tzura. So then when you come from a place and you have a neshama which is higher than Zman, so you have no problem going back into Zman. That's something which a Yid's neshama is considered to be higher than Zman. Okay, we'll hold it here and we'll finish up Ashan next week. next week and hopefully begin Hakdama Chaf Aleph. Okay, Hatzlacha, have a great day.